Hey, welcome back, everybody. It's time for Board Talk. So let's grab your board and get ready to go. Not that board. We're talking about nonprofit boards. We're trying to figure out if what makes a nonprofit board work and how do they involve everybody in it. We're going to spotlight boards that lead by example and hopefully find those that do less talk and more walk. And today, who walked into our studio but Nelma Maddox with a couple of young ladies who are going to tell us all about their nonprofit. Pinky Promise, is that it today?
Yeah, the Pinky Promise.
The Pinky Promise is here today.
Thanks for that intro, Paul. I'm super excited to introduce to everybody. First of all, the Pinky Promise is here. I talked about you guys the last show and hyped you up a little bit. But Anaya Green is our very first return guest.
Woohoo.
Woo!
We're only six shows in on Board Talk, but I'm so excited to have you.
And remind
here.
Us when she was here before, not talking about the Pinky Promise.
She was here for the Max Love Project.
Yeah, so she's involved in many things.
She's a non-profiter.
Yeah.
And an up-and-comer in the community. So today, she brought her sister, Ariana.
Hi.
And sister is here from college.
Yes.
Tell us where you came in from.
I go to the illustrious Howard University in Washington, D.C.
Very impressive. Before we talk a little bit about what the Pinky Promise does, tell me a little bit about how you ended up at Howard.
So I started at Howard fall of 2022 after graduating from IVC, Irvine Valley College. I am a senior business marketing major. I graduate spring of 2026. And I started there because I always knew from a young age I wanted to go to an all-black university.
Great. That's awesome.
If you're going to go to one, that's the one to go to.
They're lucky.
They're lucky to
have you. Okay, so I'm going to ask both of you how the Pinky Promise came about. You can decide who answers first, because I'm going to ask you both.
Flip a coin. All right, who goes
I'll
first?
Being the oldest, I'll start first. So we started the Pinky Promise together. However, it started because Anaya started a pajama drive when she was in elementary school, and when I transferred to Howard, I was looking for more ways to get involved on campus, and not only get involved, but start something that was my own. I felt like that's what a lot of college programs or organizations were missing, was just that personal aspect. So that's one thing I really wanted to incorporate, was how could I get involved and be of service to my community with something that's my own. And so I just brought to my mom and my sister, I said, hey, remember that pajama drive Anaya used to do in school? Well, what if we do that like on a bigger scale, but with toys and make it like slightly bigger? So our first toy drive was 3 years ago now, and it's been growing ever since. And it was just our way to give back a little bit to families just like ours. We know what it's like not to be able to come out or sometimes be in the hospital for the holidays. Any little thing that we can do to help others and let kids smile for a few hours, that's the goal of what we do.
So inspirational. Okay, Anaya, tell me about the pajama drive then.
I don't know
what you remember.
I really don't remember.
She was
how
too
I
little.
Started
she doesn't
it.
Too little?
I just remember, like, at my elementary school, there would be a big box, like, super tall. I don't know if it was tall because I was short or if it was actually really big. But
it's all relative.
We would wait till it got full to the top, and then we would take all those and take them to the hospital.
That's so amazing. So the pajamas were for
the
children that were in the hospital.
Yeah.
Amazing.
And can we remind everybody, Anaya's got an amazing journey, amazing story. I don't
yes,
know what
please
you want
do.
To share.
Yeah. I'd love to revisit that. Tell us a little bit about the inspiration of Max Love Project first, and then how the Pinky Promise was born, because I think they're all related. Tell us a little bit about your journey from when you were little. What were you challenged with? Because the audience can't guess.
I was diagnosed.
If you're comfortable talking about it.
Stage 4 neuroblastoma, which is a type of nerve cancer.
Yeah. And how old were you at the time?
2.5.
2.5. Yeah. You're diagnosed with cancer. We talked about that the last time. And that's how Max Love was born, out of mothers trying to help cancer patients or little kids.
Exactly. It's a lot of it. We talk about this all the time. I'm going to feel like I'm repeating myself, but I think our new audiences need to hear.
Yeah.
There's over 9,000 nonprofits in Orange County.
Oh, wow.
So it's really hard for families in Orange County to decide where they want to give, because there are so many giving hearts in Orange County, as you guys know. Okay, let's take it back to Ariana.
Before we do it, let's just sum up the story. So you were diagnosed serious cancer.
Serious,
little kid. You made it. You survived. You're here today. And that was desire to give back, to do things for other people here? Is that where all this comes from here?
Yeah.
Why get involved in nonprofits at all? Why not just go, whew, I made it?
I'll take it. I feel like the biggest part of, like, why we do what we do is because we grew up in service. Mm-hmm. Even before my sister was, like, truly diagnosed, we grew up going down to Long Beach City Library and giving out food to the homeless. And even when my sister did get diagnosed, Miracles for Kids, Max Love Project, we were always involved, and that's something that my mom instilled in us even outside of my sister's diagnosis. So I feel like after she went through treatment and is now a survivor, it's we genuinely want to give back to other people because we know how it is.
For sure. And I would say that's the part of the story that touches my heart. First of all, you wouldn't be sitting in front of me if it wasn't for your mom. Your mom is an incredible pillar in this community and very
humble.
Who's
watching from off camera here with a big smile on her face.
She doesn't like being in camera. So the last time we had Anaya in here, she was a sweetheart and sat in the corner, but also was contributing to the conversation. But it just brings us full circle, truly. And that makes total sense to me. When you grow up and watch somebody you love who just has that giving heart, it just tells you how the world does come full circle.
And then how it could be and how it should be.
Yeah.
And that isn't always that way, though. Am I allowed to say that most kids don't do this? I'm not sure my own grandkids would get involved in this. And many people, we do a show on pancreatic cancer. Pancreatic cancer is another deadly form of cancer.
Yep.
When people survive, some of them want to continue and help. Some of them never want to think about it again. I don't want to think about it. I'm happy I'm alive. And I'm just going to go live my life to the fullest here.
I think that's fair, though, and coming from a sister's view and a mother's view and the patient themselves in terms of survival. Some patients, when I was little, a lot of times I ask you questions, you're like, I don't remember, I was too little.
Yeah.
But you were so surrounded by love that, you know, you didn't necessarily want for anything. And I think that's the way your mom and sister would have wanted it to be. Okay, so we're going to go back because Paul kind of shifted us off and it's into outer space.
I just want to make sure because we were dancing around it. That's a core part of what they're doing.
No, it's important. Yeah. That story is really important. And who am I to think that people listen to my show and then remember that we had this conversation at all? So that's not really fair either. But I think going back to the Pinky Promise, what was the toughest thing about getting it off the ground?
I feel like the toughest thing was just getting past like my own fears. And in the beginning, I would always tell my mom, like, do you think it's really going to work out? Are people really going to donate? What if we don't get anything? What if we have all these families RSVP and then we don't have any gifts to give them? So I feel like the biggest hurdle was getting over my own doubt. And once I did that, every year it's been families truly happy to be there. And so that was the real fulfilling moment, was seeing, okay, once you get past your own self-doubt, anything's possible.
So it's 3 years old. And you just had your third annual party. What is your favorite part about that day?
What's your favorite part, Anaya?
I like all the kids, especially like the little kids. Like, really, it makes me very happy.
And what do you guys do, Anaya? Would you set up booths, or how does it work with how does the gift giving work? Walk me through it, because I'm sorry I didn't go.
We changed it this year, but we have tables set up and we stack the toys. Relatively nice looking, because obviously the kids are going to come ruin it.
Yeah.
And we always have a craft table and a face paint table and stuff like that, things for them to enjoy and snacks and stuff.
It's so thoughtful.
And we just let them roam there. Yeah.
How many families come and how do you find them?
Yeah, great question.
So a few families we know through our own personal connections, and we also utilize families through Max Love as well. It's really just a joint effort. We know as a family that was at Chalk for 9 years, we still know a lot of kids who actively are admitted. So we just go from there and have families RSVP and let us know. Some are returning families, some are new families. And I'll say that's probably the most fulfilling part for me. With our third event being this past weekend, the part that stood out to me the most was there was three little girls who said that they were so excited to come next year. Mm. And their mom said that they had been every single year so far.
Oh, that's so
knowing that there's families that have came every year and are excited and looking forward to the next year, that's what makes me happy, because that means we're doing the right thing and we're doing what we're supposed to
and
do.
And are they all kids with cancer?
That's so great.
Or are they kids from all sorts of different backgrounds?
They're all pediatric cancer patients, or patients, survivors,
So I hate that the number grows, because in our mind we should be working towards cure. I'm sure there are mad scientists doing all that stuff in the background that are just way more brainy than me.
Many of them here at UCI right now.
And I'm sure they're here at the brain lab here that we have. But just out of curiosity, so the first year you guys had, about how many attendees do you think you had, and then versus this year?
The first year, I would say we had about 30 families RSVP. And sometimes that number drops because some families unfortunately get admitted during mm-hmm. the holidays.
Yeah.
So that's why we make it a point to, right after the event, we go to Chalk Hospital and donate to the rest of the kids on the oncology floor.
That's amazing. How are you guys doing with donations right now? Do you have enough to get back to the oncology floor? And
we did so well that we don't have any more gifts to give out, because we gave them all out between the event at Tanaka Farms, which thank you so much to the Tanaka family for hosting us every year and just being a big part of what we do. At Chalk, we gave out the rest of the toys, so...
Amazing.
That was amazing.
And where do you get the toys? How do you get all the toys?
So all the toys are given to us through donations.
Okay.
So from friends, families, anybody, they're all donations that are made.
And who stores them?
We store them.
You do. Okay. So we can keep on giving.
Yes.
Audience, right? We can keep on giving. When does your Amazon gift registry... And does it go all year? Like, how do you do it?
Really, we only collect up until the toy drive. So we usually start collecting around the beginning of November. And the toy drive is usually around December 13th, 14th. So we'll collect up until the 10th or 11th.
Now, you got to walk me through this. You seem to know how this works here. So somehow there's a registry on Amazon.
Yeah.
And people can go. And how do you do that? Do you enter the name? I have no idea how to do it.
Tell Paul about it, because I think it's important for the audience to know. So next year, as we're leading up to it, we'll be able to
Or over the coming year, how would people do it?
Yeah.
So we do have, the main way we collect our donations is through an Amazon wish list that is available in our Instagram at @thepinkypromise_. It's typically in our bio. And it's not solely upon getting them from the Amazon wish list. If you're local in Orange County, we're always available to coordinate pickups, but we understand some people might not be in the Orange County area or even out of state, so it is relatively easier for individuals to purchase donations and donate through the Amazon wish list.
And so I go to Amazon with your wish list, I buy these things, what do I do with them?
They go directly to them.
Oh, they should.
Once they check out, it goes directly to our P.O. box where all the donations are held until we collect them and sort them out.
Oh, wow. Okay. So somehow there is if I went on Amazon today, I would do what? I'd look up your name or something?
So if you do not go through the website in our bio, we do have all the available information on our Instagram with our P.O. box address that you can put into the Amazon.
Perfect.
Purchase that way.
Okay, Paul, have your grandkids not made you have an Instagram yet? What's going on here?
Do we have to go into that? I do have
Instagram.
He is
an off-the-grid hippie.
Yeah, exactly.
But I didn't want to call it out. So.
I don't use Instagram, but the whole world does.
He might send the toys directly to your P.O. box.
Yeah, that's fine.
Oh, yeah, that's fine. And if there's any other question or any questions, comments, or concerns that come up in the process of somebody trying to donate, we're always available via Instagram to answer any questions and just
give
make the process.
Give us a handle. Somebody wants to know the handle. How do I find you on Instagram?
It'll be @thepinkypromise_. I guess someone already took the pinky promise, so make sure you put that underscore at the end.
Underscore is important. Okay. And then I think it's the picture, your picture, to you two hugging, right?
Yes.
It's super, super cute. Okay. Okay, we're going to also... Go ahead, Paul. You look like you have something.
Well, is it just the two of you, or are you trying to get other people at Howard University?
I was going to ask about the chapters. I was going to ask about the board next, because this is board talk. So,
exactly.
Tell me a little bit about your board.
So right now, it consists of the Power Three: myself, Anaya, and our super momager.
Momager.
Yes.
What a name! Is that on our business card? Momager.
I need to put it on there.
It's AAA team.
Yeah. We wouldn't be here. As much as my sister and I put in the work, my mom is like what holds us all together.
Oh, she is.
She's our glue.
She is the glue.
She's a super glue. Yes, I love that.
And I would hope to extend it. The goal is to extend it past ourselves. I hope to leave a legacy at Howard that extends beyond my sister. And that's the goal right now. We're only 3 years in. But the goal is to make it 30 years and make it more than just us three.
I love that. Tell me a little bit about at Howard, how you would be able to advertise something like the Pinky Promise. Like, what is their thought process?
How would anybody know that there's a Pinky Promise?
So right now, it's a little hard to promote your own business. You have to be involved in a school org that's already established on campus. So I just do my own thing and promote it myself, even though you're really not supposed to. And I do it that way. And because I feel like if you wait for permission, you might be waiting forever.
I love that. Ask for forgiveness later. Good tip for a lot of people.
Okay. Sometimes if there's no door, you got to make a door.
All right. So, we're putting you on the spot. This is senior year, too. We've got two graduations coming up. Oh, so we know that it's like waterworks time for mom. Tell us a little about where you're deciding where to go.
Howard.
Who said that?
So perhaps not. It's a little too cold over there. I don't really know what school. I'm going to do what she did and do IVC first.
Okay. I think that's a smart move.
I did shock everybody, though, because I decided not to do culinary.
Oh.
You were going to do culinary.
We thought you were going to do culinary.
But now I want to do something more towards...
Well, he has a culinary program over there.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. You could probably combine those two loves at some point, but I'm really happy for you.
A lot of my teachers tell me I'm good at writing, and I've found, especially this year, a lot of the in-kitchen classes are more stressful, and I feel like if I do that for the next 4 years of my life, I'll go... crazy.
I think that's a really smart move. So aside from the teachers that inspired you, is there any authors that inspired you to make that decision?
In a very nerdy sense, yes. I really like Stephen King.
Oh.
And Rick Riordan, the author of the Percy Jackson books.
Okay.
He's one of my favorites, yeah.
I'm going to have to give Percy Jackson a try. I have read some Stephen King. Have you watched Stand By Me?
Not as much as I probably should.
Okay. So, I didn't want to say it was one of his short stories, but I guess it was something. So, in Rest in Peace, Rob Reiner, but...
Turned into one of his first movies.
Interestingly, it was one of his first movies, and Rob Reiner wrote a lot of his own pain growing up. It's like a 13-year-old movie for boys. The four of them go.
Coming of age
movie.
Film.
Very classic, and the song Stand By Me, which is very famous, obviously, rung true for that song, or for that movie, but I saw it in theater, so it's like a back in my day. It was a nostalgia thing for me, but it's a Stephen King novel.
And all
novel.
These big kids came out. Wasn't River Phoenix in it?
River Phoenix was in it.
Corey
Will Wheaton.
From Star Trek. Yeah. Will Wheaton,
Yeah. Corey Feldman. Yeah, exactly. Don't know who the other gentleman... Oh my gosh, I think that's... oh my gosh, I'm blanking, but it's John Stamos is the other guy. It's one of the twins.
Oh, is it? I know there's a lot
of... Oh, this is what happens when you turn my age, girls. You don't remember anything anymore. And then we've gone completely digressed off of everything that we've got to
you
talk
brought it
about.
Up. You went
I
down
mean,
that path
we were
there.
Talking about a board. Okay, so tell me about an ideal board member, then.
An ideal board member would be someone within the philanthropy, pediatric cancer space. Mm. Definitely want to focus on counselors, people who have that type of background, because I feel like mental health is an important aspect that needs to be touched on. Mm-hmm. We would like people with that background to be a part of our board, because it's something like anything like cancer takes a toll on not only the patients, but the families as well. Mm-hmm. And we carry a lot of stuff without speaking. So I feel like just for having that outlet available for families and having people with that background be a part of the decision-making process, I feel is important.
I love that thought process. I'm on Lion's Heart as well, so I was wondering, and I mean, we were definitely looking for somebody with an attorney background, because you really want to take, we have a lot of tech, so we're trying to take every single person's gift, like in terms of what are your gifts and what are the skill sets that you can bring to a board. So I love that's what you're thinking.
I got to ask the question, because it's the question that burns in my brain every time I hear this show. I don't know, and I don't know that most people know, really what a board does. And therefore, I don't know if I were forming my own nonprofit, who I would look for in board. Would I look for people who could bring expertise, who could bring connections, who could bring money, who could bring something? I don't know. What is it that you, when you recruit a board, look for?
I feel like it would encompass all of those things. I feel like when you have a board, it's about having different avenues. You need someone to control the PR, how we look to the public. Then you need someone to control the finances. Then you need somebody to be the background checker, and I feel like you need someone who's going to facilitate donations, someone who's really, it's a multifaceted board, and people with all type of backgrounds.
Those are the most successful ones. I think you're spot on that. And then to respond to Paul's question, sometimes there's advisory boards, sometimes there's the official board, and then there's a couple of the organizations that I brought in here have a teen board.
That's
so they'll have youth leadership boards. They also have junior boards, so to speak, or associates boards. Second Harvest Food Bank has an associates board, and it's just somebody who's only been in their career. I want to say what Wayne shared with us at the time. Wayne and Jackie came in, and they talked a little bit about that person being maybe not necessarily with the age, but it was if they've been in their careers 5 to 10 years or so, and they're just getting their feet wet in terms of understanding how do I give back to the community. Because a lot of times, if you're early on in your career, I wish I was wealthy back then. I'm still not wealthy now. But in terms of wanting to give wealth back to the community, I think sometimes you're so focused on your own little family and then just getting by. And we know so many families that rely on nonprofits in order to, or maybe live from paycheck to paycheck, or have to go to a women helping women in order to get clothes, for instance, where it helps you interview. So to answer Paul's question that he asks every time we have this show, I think it's always different. I don't think it's always the same.
Yeah.
But I love where your mind is going, because I think that's what you have to continue to
and
do.
And how important is a board? Is it just for show? Is it just to grow? Is it there to, or does it have a real critical function to help move from just being a founder's thing to a bigger thing?
I feel like the one word that would describe the purpose of a board is really to maintain, to align the business or whatever company that you're trying to start. A board is really to make sure that everything stays on track and nothing gets overlooked, because you can only look over so many things yourself. And so it's good to have multiple eyes on different aspects of the business.
Yeah. And then some would say grow. Because even though we're not for profit, so I think that's a very deceiving thing too, Paul. Some nonprofits do rely on their profit to pay for their staff. So you wouldn't necessarily make these certainly decisions, but you still have a P&L to look at. You have a financial responsibility and fiscal responsibility to be using the funds for what you said you were going to use your funds for. Otherwise, it's central.
And it's a business. Right. Money can get misspent. Money can get missing. Money, bad things can happen. All sorts of stuff. You've got an obligation to those who gave and to those who are waiting to receive to handle the money.
Absolutely.
To do well at raising it and do well at giving it out.
Yeah. At your event, aside from the three of you that you have to thank, you're like, obviously, woo, we did a good job. Who do you end up thanking?
I want to thank all of Max Love, Ian Fauché. Is one of our biggest donors and supporters. Him and his family have been an amazing contribution to what we're trying to do. The entire staff of Bear Coast Coffee and Dana Point, they are amazing, have donated hot chocolate and treats to us every year. Outstanding team and outstanding business, and we look forward to working with them again next year. All of Max Love Project, if I didn't say that already, we wouldn't be here without them. And they've been an amazing support system for us. And everyone at Chalk, all the nurses who even allowed us to be here, aside from God, that's the number one person we have to thank. Everybody, all my friends, shout out to people who came down from Howard to help me, family, my mom, my sister, my grandma.
So great.
Everybody. It's not just us. There's a whole lot of hands behind the scene. And it's a team effort. And we couldn't do it by ourselves. So as much as we put in the work, it's a lot of work that goes on behind the scenes that we wouldn't be here without.
And so. I guess one question I ask everybody, because you guys are young. When I was young, this is the last thing I thought about is helping others. I was worried about my own career, having a good time this weekend, or whatever it was, watching the football game. I was very selfish. I was not focused on the outer world, just me. It was all about me. How do you, so many kids today like you guys seem to be inspired for a bigger vision. What would you say to other people who haven't done this or are thinking of doing it or might be intrigued at doing it but have never done this before, don't think they can do it, don't know how to do it, not sure they want to do it?
before I take that question, I also want to give a special thanks to the entire Tanaka family.
Oh, yeah.
The Tanaka Farm is the one that hosts us and allows us to be in that space every year. So a special shout out and thank you to the entire Tanaka family.
Thank you for mentioning them. Tanaka is actually also very generous. They do the Second Harvest Food Bank Walk there as well every year.
Very involved,
you know, we'll
community.
Probably run into each other.
Amazing family.
Let's let Anaya take that question from Paul.
Yeah, what do you say to other kids?
We're on our last few minutes here.
Yeah. Why should they do it? How do they do it? What do you tell people? Go do it. Why? Kids say, I don't do this.
I honestly, from my perspective, it's weird because on one hand, I am a teenager and I get why they're like, I'm not going to do that. But on the other hand, I've experienced it. So my perspective is a little bit different. I just started telling my friends about it and stuff, and they usually do ask me that question. And I think the number one thing I tell them is I think it's important because you can be the motivation or inspiration for somebody that doesn't have that otherwise. And regardless of what you do, you can always bring somebody happiness, whether it's pajamas or toys or just writing a letter or something.
Yeah.
It's important with anything that you do, really, and it doesn't take a lot.
Trust me, at my age, time is the most precious gift.
Yeah.
And so when you're able to give time, so we were talking a little bit about this as you guys were coming in, because I noticed how close you are as a family. It's so sweet that you are together for the holidays. I have so many directions I want to go, but I'm going to end on this. I think I am in the presence of greatness, meaning when I'm 75, which is not too far away, I'm going to get to watch the two of you on a TED Talk, and it's going to make me cry, very emotional. But you've used your inspiration and hardship and adversity for good, and here you are giving to other people, right? And that just doesn't always happen. I applaud you all. Thank you for coming in.
Me too. Well said.
Thank you for
Thank you for coming in again. I'll probably have you come in again, like when you start your own nonprofit. But that being said, I'm good. Stay purposed, stay action oriented, and thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Wow, it got me so emotional. I pushed the wrong button there. Okay, board talk. That's what it's all about. Never bored talking about this topic here. Come back and join us as we share more about the spotlight boards that lead by example, like this one. Right here in Orange County's only community radio station, OC Talk Radio, streaming live from our studios here at the University of California, Irvine's Beale Applied Innovation Center.